Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, this is your circus and these are your monkeys. Is your life feeling more and more like a three-ring circus? We're going to help you deal with all the people and problems causing drama in your life. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, this is your circus, these are your monkeys.
I don't know, most people have heard that phrase, not my circus, not my monkeys. In other words, I'm not doing this, it doesn't involve me, I'm out. But what happens when they are? What happens when it's all the people you have to deal with in your life and they are driving you berserk?
Yeah, so if your life is feeling a little more like a three-ring circus than you'd like, we want to help you deal with all the people and problems causing drama in your life. Tell us about it. You know, who are those people who are just taking up way more time and energy than they have a right to? You know, are you having a hard time finding the line between being helpful and getting sucked in? You know, do you find yourself in the situation where you just feel like you're spinning around with a whole lot of stuff that you shouldn't have to be dealing with?
Yes, exactly. And maybe it's keeping you from the stuff that you should be dealing with.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, you're feeling like, why didn't I take care of my most important people or the things that I really needed to get done? Why is everything getting backlogged on me? Because your brain and probably your actions are having to deal with all this stuff all the time, and you're not sure how to straighten it out. And if you're not sleeping well at night because you're thinking about these particular monkeys and circus, these people that are draining you and taking up so much thought and so much time because of the drama that's going on with them, well, that's a pretty good indicator that you're dealing with something and you need a little bit of help getting out of so you can get your life in right order.
You know, this happened to me the other day, actually. I had dedicated a certain block of time to work on an important project that's due, you know, pretty much at the end of this month. And, you know, something happened where I just got caught up in doing this thing and then that thing. And I'd say, oh, I'll just take 5 minutes to do this other thing. And then literally 3.5 hours went by and ate up all the time
all
that I was supposed to use for this really important project. And, you know, it was a lesson, you know, for me to be a little bit more disciplined about, you know, not getting my attention drawn to other things. But that's kind of the thing we're talking about. You know, it's easy to get sucked in by that one little thing that pops up or that one person who needs you here. There's nothing wrong with being helpful to other people. In fact, it's very good to want to be helpful to them. And it's good to be able to handle lots of different things. But sometimes that can just cause you to feel like you're spinning out of control. And, you know, sometimes it's just about something little, like what I was just sharing. Or sometimes it's about bigger things that are sucking up a whole lot of time and emotional energy that just drain you and leave you feeling like you don't have the energy to do the stuff that you're really supposed to do or prioritize the relationships that really deserve to be prioritized. And that's what we want to help you do today. Really focus on what God is asking you to do and leave behind the other stuff, or at least put limits on the other stuff so that you can approach it in a healthier way. So call up and share at 877-573-7825. What people and problems are causing that drama in your life? what people and what situations are making your life feel more and more like that three-ring circus. If you're having a hard time finding that line between, you know, being generous, being helpful, handling lots of different things, versus just getting caught up in the tornado, we want to help you focus. 877-573-7825.
Well, I'll never forget hearing one of our dearest friends use that phrase, not my circus, not my monkeys, the first time I ever heard the phrase he used it. And I thought, gosh, that would be nice. It would be nice to just be able to say, not my circus, not my monkeys, about the stuff that had been, you know, getting to me at that time. But I said, what, you know, really did have in my mind, what happens when it is your circus and it is your monkeys and you're not quite sure how to get them all peaceful and under control and feeling good? And I'll tell you, God is so good, because the theology of the body that St. John Paul II gave us really does speak to just about everything in our lives. And as we look at this topic today, we see that, you know, when we look at our lives and we look at that kind of chaos, we realize that that drama pulls us out of a receptive spirit that God calls us to live in. It makes it difficult to hear God's voice and cooperate with his will. We're so busy living in reaction to the drama-causing events and people, it sometimes doesn't even occur to us to ask God what to do in those moments.
So the theology of the body then reminds us of the importance of resisting the impulse to get caught up in our drama, that even in the middle of the drama, it's important to cultivate receptivity, that ability to step out of the craziness that's happening around us, center ourselves in God's grace, and respond, rather than react, to what's happening in a loving and responsible way that glorifies God, works for our good, and the good of the people around us. And I just want to, you know, I just feel led right now as I'm praying through this to just kind of throw this out there. You know, sometimes we get feedback from people that say, well, you know, you act like the theology of the body, like, you know, responds to every single question in human life. Like, you can turn to page X in the theology of the body and you read about stress or about anxiety or this or that. Or this topic even today. What the theology of the body does is it speaks to what it means to be a Christian person, responding to all of those things. So even if you don't, you know, can't find chapter and verse on this particular issue or that particular issue, what you can find throughout the whole theology of the body is a Christian perspective on what it means to be a godly person responding to all of these kinds of things.
Well, and also, the theology of the body speaks so purely and so magnificently to being a human person deserving of love and treating others that way, rather than being, if you'll excuse the term, thingified, objectified, as JP2 would say. And that really puts a lens, a very clarifying lens, on all interactions in life, but especially these chaotic ones, where we can begin to sort out, are people using us instead of being in a loving relationship? Am I thingifying them by trying to fix them as though they were
a
broken
machine? Turn them into a
project
instead of a person. Right.
Exactly. So the theology of the body gives us such clarity and so much peace when we lean in to those teachings. And of course, they're just all based on scripture and great Catholic tradition, but it's really, encapsulates it so well for us. So that's why we apply it in this way to this subject. And you can apply it to whatever's driving you crazy in your life. If you're feeling like that ringmaster and you don't know which ring to turn to and where to go, and you're a little afraid you're going to be run over by the whole crowd.
All the clowns
and all the elephants and all the whatever. And you just need some help finding that peace and that clarity today with those situations and those people. We're here for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the gift of peace and the wisdom to know how to be generous and how to be engaged with all the people and challenges we face, but to do it in a way that allows us to focus on what you ask us to do primarily, and to do it in a peaceful spirit. And although that sounds wonderful, we often struggle with that, Lord. And we get caught up in the drama. We get caught up in the chaos. And we often feel ourselves being depleted by people and problems that don't deserve that amount of energy. Help us to know the difference, Lord. Help us to be clear about what you are asking us to do, and truly have the wisdom to know how to engage with other people and challenges in a manner that respects those priorities and respects the mission to which we are called and the people that you have primarily called us to serve, so that we can be generous, self-giving, but also peaceful and purposeful in all that we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, our show is titled, This Is Your Circus, and These Are Your Monkeys. If your life is feeling a little bit more and more like a three-ring circus these days, we want to help you deal more effectively and gracefully with all the people and problems that are sucking all your energy and draining all your focus. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, good morning, Greg and Lisa. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I love your program. I have learned so much, and I just pray for you every day and thank the good Lord that your program is aired where we can listen to it. So thank you again.
That is so kind, and thank you for your prayers and your encouragement. That means a lot. What can we do for you today?
Absolutely. Well, the prayer that you just said was exactly the prayer that I will keep on my heart as I make my decision as to whether or not I attend my late sister-in-law's memorial service. She died recently. She was a devout Catholic. She came from a family of seven, and she was really the only one that practiced her Catholic faith after college. And her husband is not Catholic. Her remains were cremated, and they had a small gathering in her state where she died. And now they're bringing her remains and ashes back to Iowa. And in July, they're going to have a family gathering and spread her ashes. And her older sister has arranged to have a mass said the morning of this event. And when I talked to her older sister, I just asked her if the ashes and the urn could be present at the mass. And her sister told me that the priest had talked to her about the fact that cremation is fine within the Catholic practice, but dispersion of the ashes like that is not. And
correct.
He advised her strongly not to do that.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to her, and she said, well, explain to me, why is it so important? And I explained to her why. And then she said, well, I guess we're going to agree to disagree. Stay out of it. I don't want you to call the priest. I don't want you to talk to him. And we are going to do what we're going to do, and her ashes will be spread. And so that's it. So we're agreeing to disagree. However, I have extended enough emotional energy over this that
I bet.
I feel like maybe it would be best for me not to be present. I don't know if my presence would then say, I'm okay with what you're doing. I don't verbally want to create any problems, during this gathering. But it really, I just told her, I said, your sister would, I don't know if she didn't have a will or what, if she was sick for 2 years and she didn't communicate this wish to anybody, but I said she would have wanted a Catholic funeral mass, and she would have wanted her ashes to be interned.
In so consecrated ground, exactly. Yeah, this is, and so this person that you're dealing with just completely wants to ignore your sister-in-law's Catholic faith in this last moment. And that's, wow.
So I did have one question, and well, two questions. The first one is, so she told you not to tell the priest. So I get, they're having the mass, and then anyway, and then like where does that stand with the pastor at this point?
Well, I didn't talk to him, and she was afraid that if I did talk to him about this, that he would refuse to say a mass prior to this.
You know, I think he needs to know, though. I would say that at least. So, let me ask you first, though. What are you asking from us? How can we help you?
I'm asking for discernment as far as my peace and serenity. Do I go? Do I not go? Because I'm conflicted.
Yeah, it's like the Clash song. If you stay, there will be trouble. If you go, there will be double. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. Okay. So here's the thing. All right. I can't tell you what to do, but what I can give you is a process for discerning this. What I will suggest to you, though, is I do believe as a faithful Catholic, as the faithful Catholic there, you do have a responsibility to talk to the pastor even over the family's objections. You know, because that not to talk to the pastor makes him party to something that is completely inappropriate from a Catholic perspective. You know, our bodies are sacred, and they deserve to be treated as if they were sacred, not treated as if they were just dust and dirt. And so that's why the Church insists that even if we use cremation, that those cremains would be interred in sacred ground, because it gives honor both to God, who created our bodies, and to the sacredness of our bodies. And it stands as a witness to the resurrection. You know, we're not just...
That's right.
Well, I'm quoting lyrics left and right here today. We're not just dust in the wind.
Oh, yes.
We are sacred beings, and our bodies are sacred, and God came to redeem not just our souls, but our bodies as well, and our bodies will be united with our souls. And
that's why we profess in the creed, we believe in the resurrection of the body.
Because God intends to raise those bodies up, and we will be living as Jesus is now. As in heaven, he is united with his body for all of eternity in the resurrection, and so will we. So all of that, you know, that's why.
And we understand that you understand that, Teresa, but it's good for the rest of our listeners to hear it. And it's also good to reaffirm that for you, that this isn't a matter of just, you know, what one very pushy member of the family or other people feel like they want to do to make themselves feel spiritual. This is honoring everything your sister-in-law lived for. You say she was a devout Catholic, and you
and
need
really
to pray about
her.
This, but this is something where if you really want to honor her and really as a Catholic yourself not want to make the priest complicit in this.
And I guess I don't understand why would she even, and this is a rhetorical question, but why would, you know, your was it just the
woman who told you to not talk to anybody.
Why would she even care about having a mass since she doesn't obviously care about any of the other Catholic practices associated with death and dying?
She's giving a nod to this, but then completely undermining everything
So the one thing I will absolutely say to you is I believe with all of my heart that you have an obligation to reach out to the priest and explain what's going on.
And you can even say to the priest, you know, if you can leave my name out of this, that would be great because I will be dealing with this for the rest of my life if you mention me. But if you have to, I'm willing to stand for my faith.
But either way, he needs to know. And this is a hill worth dying on, frankly, because again, it's a betrayal of your sister-in-law's Catholic faith. And it makes the pastor complicit in, you know, unintentionally so. He's not like morally responsible, but it makes him complicit in a very illicit act. As far as whether you go, you know, to the dispersal or not, here's what I want you to pray about, okay? Long term, what is going to help you have the most impact on evangelizing your family? Now, you might think, well, ain't nothing I can do to evangelize them. But that's what I want you to pray about, okay? What is going to allow you, the Holy Spirit to work through you long term to have the best spiritual impact on your family? If staying away allows you to stand up for your Catholic faith and be an instrument of the Holy Spirit that kind of creates that, you know, that pebble in the shoe, if you will, that makes them really wrestle with their conscience, well, that might be a good case for staying away. If, on the other hand, as you pray about it, the Holy Spirit says, you know, I want you to be there to bear witness to why this is wrong and to a godlier way of being, then you go. It's not so much about how you feel about it. It's about what you believe the impact will be of either of these options. And you're only going to know that by really prayerfully reflecting in the light of God's grace what the right thing is to do here. But I think as long as you really talk to the pastor about what's going on first and then take the rest of that to prayer, you're going to be in a good place. I'm so sorry that your family is doing this.
I will say this, Teresa, get yourself a will, because if your family is willing to do this to your sister-in-law's remains, they're going to do this to anybody, yeah. And you don't want that to happen to you. So really spell out that you want, you know, everything in alignment with your Catholic faith.
Teresa, thank you so much for the call. And listeners, you know, this kind of goes to the idea of, you know, our faith is not a vending machine. You know, we don't get to just pull out the stuff that we want. And that's what, you know, Teresa's family is trying to do. I'm so sorry, Teresa. That's just so painful. And I hope that the suggestions we made here will clarify some things for you. And if there's more we can do for you as you pray through this, don't hesitate to reach out again.
And we really will be praying that God intervenes in this and gives your sister-in-law what she deserves, which is a Catholic burial.
We have to go to break. 877-573-7825. When we come back, more conversations with you about the people and problems that are causing drama in your life. Let us help you find clarity in the middle of the chaos and feel the and have the confidence you need to move forward clearly. 877-573-7825. More to life. We'll come back after this break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, "This Is Your Circus and These Are Your Monkeys." We're helping you deal with the drama in your life. If things are feeling more and more like a three-ring circus these days, we want to help you deal with all the people and problems causing drama in your life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Esther, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hi, Esther. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's
going on? I have aging parents. Dad has advanced Parkinson's. He's in a nursing home. Mom's 86, lives at home, and wants to remain there. So I have two brothers, one of which is completely out because of all kinds of reasons, and the other one tries to help, but it's not very successful. So the problem is that the one that is there in the house has a criminal record, and he claims now everything is good and clean and that he's not doing anything wrong, yet the people who show up at the house are very suspect, very scary looking, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And he's a hoarder. His room is like, I don't even want to go in there. I don't want to know what's in there. And people just kind of random people coming and going. And it's just, it's horrible. So mom is, doesn't stand up for herself anymore. She's just very overtly religious and just says God will take care of it. And kind of, I think just buries her head, you know, in the sand about it. So everything falls on me. I'm responsible. I have to manage the household, the medical, the like, the bills, the everything. And I work full time. I'm in the medical field.
That's a lot.
I deal with oncology patients all day. And
is your mom mentally competent? I know she's checked out, but would anyone say that she's mentally competent?
Yeah, for an 86-year-old, yeah. She's you know, she has some hearing issues, but you know, yeah.
Okay, but maybe some depression has caused her to just sort of shut down at this point and not be able to.
Yeah, because my dad has been a completely disgraceful man most of his life, which is what I've come to find out. He's a womanizer. He's what do you call that when you're? It's all about you.
Narcissistic.
There's a lot.
So
your mom is used to
not being regarded as a person, and now she's just accepting that from your brother. Listen, we have to go to break, but I'm going to ask you, Esther, to stay on the line over the break so we can continue the call, ask a couple other questions, and offer you some feedback. So please do hang on while we take our break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with Esther. And with all of you who are dealing with a whole lot of drama in your life. The show is titled, This Is Your Circus, These Are Your Monkeys. I mean, what do you do when you just can't farm it out? If you have to deal with those people and problems that are causing you drama, we want to help you deal more confidently and peacefully. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Dr. Greg Popchak. In a recent study, psychologists studied a virtue long held dear by the Catholic faith, humility. Humility isn't about negative feelings toward yourself. Rather, the study found that humility is comprised of traits such as sincerity, honesty, and thoughtfulness. But a second group of traits revealed something more about humility, that humble people are curious, bright, logical, and aware. Humble people spend time learning from other people. And isn't that what the Church has been teaching all along? That we require community to humbly arrive at holiness.
Pride is an obsession with defining one's own path to fulfillment, hoarding one's gifts, and refusing to be open to learning from the experience of others. Humility, then, is the awareness that abundance can only be pursued by cooperating with others, sharing what one has with others, and learning from the experience of others. For more about developing healthy, virtuous habits that benefit your family and community, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Thanks for joining us today. We're so glad to be with you on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, This Is Your Circus, These Are Your Monkeys. I'm sorry to be able to say that, but it's true. Sometimes we can't just say, not my circus, not my monkeys. Sometimes you own the circus and the monkeys, too. So if you are dealing with a whole lot of drama in your life because certain people are bringing drama to you or certain problems are whipping things up, we want to help you deal with those people and situations confidently and gracefully, decrease that drama, and get that circus under control. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Esther in California. She was describing a situation where she has aging parents. Her dad is in a nursing home. Her mom is at home living with her 56-year-old brother who has a criminal record and has issues, I think, with addiction in the past. She's saying that there are a whole bunch of, she puts it, shady characters showing up at the house. She's concerned about her mom's safety. Her brother's a hoarder as well. Esther, is that a fair summary of some of the things, the highlights there?
Yeah.
The okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell me something. You said before the break that you just recently found out, you know, I think you said what you used the word scoundrel, I think, didn't you? That your father was, that he was a narcissist and a womanizer. Did this just come to light recently or what?
Well, I stepped into his care as power of attorney 3 years ago, and that's when all of this stuff really came to light. Growing up, there was always a mystery. There was always things that didn't feel right. And as a kid, you can't place it. And it was a hidden thing. Nobody ever talked about it. But Dad basically lived with another woman for 20 years. He absconded money from the house. You know, they still have this obnoxious mortgage to pay. I mean, it's just atrocious in every way you can look at it.
Yeah.
And now I have to care for him, and I've struggled to find a loving way. And it's basically, he's a human being, like you said, and that in God's eyes has value. So I have to look at him in that light while I care for him. And
but there are a lot of feelings about that too, I'm sure, that need to be dealt with. You know, a lot of feelings of betrayal. And what can we do for you today? Because there are a couple of different directions we can go with this, and I want to make sure that we're focused on what you most need.
How do I handle my brother? Okay, I don't know how to handle him because he just blows up. You know, you confront him with this, and you say these shady characters, this and that, and he denies it, and then he blows up.
So he's not going to be a partner in this because he's too broken to be able to be an effective partner in addressing the problem. So we're going to have to find a workaround here. Okay, so in terms of taking care of your mom and making sure that she's safe in the environment, the best way to approach this, and I realize that there are difficulties with it, but you're not going to get anywhere trying to deal directly with this brother. And I'll tell you, I did for a lot of years, I did home health social work and hospice social work. I've seen all of these situations and more. So I really do know what you're dealing with here. And because of that experience, you know, I know what's going to happen. Your brother, you know, is invested in keeping things the way they are because it works for him.
Works really well for him. He doesn't have to do anything. He gets probably free room and board, and he just gets to hang out and live the very shattered life he lives, and nobody bothers him about it.
So any attempt that you make to try to get him to be a good guy and take care of your mom is going to be met with real resistance and pushback and even violence potentially, because you're upsetting his apple cart. You're saying to him, I need you to inconvenience yourself for the sake of another person. And he doesn't know how to do that because, well, your father didn't know how to do that, right? And you're kind of connecting those dots. So the only way for you to address this situation would be for you to contact Elder Services at the Department of Health and Human Services of your county. Most people think, you know, most people realize that they have like children and youth services, but that same department often, usually, in fact, in most cases, has elder services as well, where they will send a social worker to do a home study and evaluate the safety of that situation so that your mom can be appropriately cared for. If the social work evaluation finds that there are safety hazards, they will make recommendations and they'll be able to move things forward for you. So you don't have to fight with your brother about it. If he fights with the social worker, then there'll be legal consequences for all of that, right? So,
especially with his criminal history.
You know, you need you need somebody else to be on your side in this, because if you just take this on, you don't really have...
Well, A, you're powerless, and B, yeah, you're endangering yourself and possibly your mother. So it's not prudent for you to do that.
Well, so strictly speaking right now, with you saying your mom is being mentally competent, you know, legally she has the right to kind of decide to live like this. But if the social work evaluation can find that she's not in a healthy situation and that she's being endangered in some way by your brother's activities and the condition of the home, the social worker can move things forward in a way that would allow you to be able to be more engaged and have less drama.
Now, Esther, as far as your father goes, you've got the right idea. You have to look at him at a very distant kind of way, you know, kind of picture yourself pushing him away as a father figure and saying, I'm going to do whatever he needs because he is a human person and he has dignity. He's in a nursing home. You don't have to be there every 3 seconds. You just have to treat him with enough dignity to know that that's the case. Two things here. You really, rightly so, you have every right in the world to choke up when you have to talk about what your family has been through because of the way your father behaved. If you haven't sought counseling to begin to sort this out and give yourself power in it and help yourself not feel victimized by it, this is the time to do it. And please don't wait until either or both of your parents passed. That carries a lot more weight with it and it gets harder to do. So get into a good therapeutic situation with a faithful Catholic counselor if you can, because again, you're talking about wanting to uphold the dignity of your parents. Secular counselors may not be able to do that. One other little note on my part, having gone through the death of parents, contact a lawyer and have just the conversation of, when in time, whenever that is,
I apologize, just hop in for a second. You're wanting to find an elder care attorney.
No, that's not even what I'm talking about necessarily.
That would be a good idea in addition to the social worker. I would recommend getting in touch with an elder care attorney.
Yes, absolutely. But my point is, you want to be in a situation where you can walk away clean from this. And you're talking about a mortgage that extends forever, a brother who's going to be fighting you for the house and the whatever. Just talk to someone in a one-time situation and say, when this is over and I no longer have to care for my parents, how do I walk away from this financially clear and safe and not get caught up in the drama of whatever my parents created?
Because there's going to be drama.
And most parental deaths cause drama in a family, even if the family is incredibly together and functional most of their lives. This situation is going to make that worse, and I'd hate to see you have to deal with all of that, plus the emotional stuff that will go with it.
Just to give you a context for some of the advice that Lisa's giving about your dad, you know, a lot of times we'll get calls from folks who will say, you know, my parent was horrible. What does it mean to honor them, as the commandment says? And honoring your mother and father does not mean that you have to be their best friend. It means that you, at the very least, you have to make sure that, especially in their old age, their physical needs are provided for. That doesn't even necessarily mean that you have to be the one doing it if they're not safe to be around, psychologically speaking, right? It just means, number one, that you are providing for their physical needs, and number two, that you are living in a manner that would allow other people to say, Esther done been raised right, whether it was true or not. Okay, because that is a way that we honor our parents, by healing the wounds that they inflicted on us, by living a healthy and godly life.
And that does not mean hiding stuff.
No,
okay, I want to be very clear on that. When we use that phrase to kind of say the dignity with which you hold yourself, it doesn't mean hide all your father's sins, don't own up to the mess that occurred in your household growing up. It means rising above it with dignity in a way that doesn't just look like they did what they
doesn't
did
sweep
all
everything
the time.
Under the rug.
Yes, it's like really living in truth and walking in your dignity as a child of God. Because one of the things we have to remember when we have parents who fell short of their dignity as children of God is that we still are God's children. Whatever our parents did, however they sinned, however they messed up, however they wounded us, we are primarily children of the Heavenly Father. We are God's children, and we deserve to walk with dignity, and we deserve to find the healing that we need. God wants that for us, and that's what He's asking you to walk in now.
Esther, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the program. Or if we can help you heal some of these wounds from your family of origin, and especially your dad's behavior, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But we thank you for your willingness to stand in the gap, even though your parents were lacking in so many ways. And thank you for your willingness to be faithful to them. And if there's any way we can support you, we're happy to do it. 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled, This Is Your Circus, These Are Your Monkeys, as we talk about dealing with the people and situations that bring drama into our lives. We want to help you face that drama confidently and gracefully so that you can do what you need to do, but isolate yourself from the chaos. Sound good? Give us a call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 37.
Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. And I really want to, because we've often heard when we go to Mass or people use the expression, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more is from the evil one. Now, that doesn't mean you can't pause and say, maybe, let me get back to you, and then give a yes or a no. What it means is indecisiveness, the mamby-pamby being tossed around by somebody else's whims, somebody else's will, somebody else's
pressure, manipulation.
Yes, like manipulation. That's exactly the word I was going for. That's from the evil one. That's a lack of clarity. That's a lack of receptivity to the Holy Spirit that will give us that clarity. God wants us to walk in truth and in light. And if we are getting all churned up because somebody's manipulating us, or somebody has raised us to be a people pleaser, or somebody who's terrified of conflict, that comes from the evil one. But when we can walk in God's light and God's truth, find the healing we need from those people who might have taught us that we can't walk in God's truth, then our yes can be yes, our no can mean no, and we are walking in God instead of letting Satan manipulate us and wound us still further and possibly wound others by our lack of clarity.
Amen. 877-573-7825. We want to help you eliminate the drama in your life. If things are starting to look more and more like a three-ring circus, we want to help you manage all that chaos gracefully so that you can do what you need to do, but insulate yourself from all the crazy. Sounds good? Well, great. Give us a call. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with more of your questions, comments, and insights about facing the drama in your life gracefully when we return after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, This Is Your Circus. These are your monkeys.
What, sorry to tell you.
Yeah. What do you do when you just can't offload the drama and the people that are causing it? What do you do when you have to actually face those people and problems? Well, we want to help you manage the issues, do what you need to do, but insulate yourself from the chaos and the crazy.
And maybe even do some good.
There you go. And if that sounds good to you, we are here to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joshua, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Joshua. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen.
For having me on.
You bet. What's up?
So, yes, sir. Quick question, okay? So this morning I came across a resource on, we heard on the radio, marysadvocates.org, and it's, you know, it's advocates
For marriage, you know, yeah, and for
exactly. Kind of, okay, mm-hmm. So you guys are familiar. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get clarification here. I'm trying to set this up as quick as I can, okay? My mother and father married in the Catholic Church, fully Catholic. They got divorced probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago. So it was a civil divorce. My mom has remarried. They haven't got an annulment. You know, my grandparents, you know, they held the civil wedding service. My uncle married them in their backyard. My grandparents are daily mass-going Catholics, right? So I just feel like, you know, I've set some serious limits from the books that I've read from y'all and, you know, saying, look, I can't even – it's to the point I couldn't really speak to my mom, or just in very subtle ways through text, you know, just because the life that she's chosen. And so I guess I'm trying to bring to light the truth, right, to my grandparents who continue to harbor, you know, when they come in to visit her and her civil spouse, they stay at the house. You know, I'm not going to visit, not bringing my daughter over there. You know, recently they got sick. My grandparents got sick, so she came in, and and by herself. So we made a trip over with the family. But I've reached out saying I want to, you know, find a way for healing and a way to work together. But there's silence on the line. So according to this website, I mean, we're not even supposed to get.
Mary's Advocates, you mean that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's some short video that I watched. That you're not supposed to get a divorce unless you have the bishop's permission. So I guess my dad, you know, he's going around in circles trying to get it figured out, and it's just exhausting. I mean, great.
So let me try to understand. Yeah. So what's your goal, and how can we help support you in pursuing?
Sure,
what specifically are you looking for?
Absolutely. My goal is to work for their good and glorify God. And so does that mean exposing the truth? How do I expose the truth in a way, or do I just need to give the resources to my dad and say, look, this is how you need to handle it, or, you know, to have some type of intervention with my family? Look, you know, y'all can't be – y'all hosted a marriage here. This is wrong.
Now, Joshua, have you said all this before, the things that you're saying right now? I got the sense that you already talked to your mother and your grandparents through this. Is that the case?
Not this way. No.
So why do they think you're not coming by or bringing your daughter if you haven't had this discussion with them?
Well, the discussion, they know right now. I told them I'm not coming to your house if you use foul language. You know, my grandfather used
foul language. So that's all. It was about other behaviors, but you've never really talked to your mother about the fact that she doesn't have an annulment and her marriage is invalid.
Well, not respectfully, not with love, you know, in the past.
Okay.
You know, and not with this information.
Okay. Well, all right. So there are lots of different things going on here. Now, I'll just start because you mentioned this, you know, I know that a lot of listeners just like had panic in their hearts whenever they heard you say the thing about the bishop. Yes, in canon law, before a couple separates, they're supposed to seek the counsel of the church. I will say this, practically speaking, I've actually had clients do this and get crickets from their chancery. I'm not saying you shouldn't try it. I'm saying that in practice, there are very few bishops who will actually do this, because, and it's the same reason that the church requires a divorce before they'll even consider an annulment, because the church was worried about getting sued for alienation of affection, which is where, you know, well, anyway, I don't need to get into all that. But so yes, it's true that canonically you're supposed to seek permission before you separate, before you're supposed to seek the counsel of the church. I think it's a very wise and pastoral thing if anybody actually did it. When I say anybody actually did it, I mean if bishops would actually do it. But I have yet to find a single case where that's actually worked. So I don't want anybody hung up on that. All right.
It's worth trying it's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, but you should seek pastoral counsel.
Yes.
And you should seek, you know, that spiritual guidance before you make any significant decisions in your marriage. But I just want you to understand the reality of the situation. That said, all right, Josh, I want you to pray about this relation. It always starts with prayer, you know, and you're asking God, how can I be the best? How can I respond to the people here? How can I respond to my parents, to my grandparents in a way that would bring out the best in them? Lord, teach me how to respond to them in a way that would bring out the best in them. Sometimes doing that means setting boundaries and saying, I can't be around you until I see X, Y, or Z change. Sometimes it means saying, you know what, I'm strong enough spiritually and psychologically to take the hit of being around them and letting God work through me and my witness over a longer haul, right? And you need to really look at that. It sounds to me, Josh, that you got a lot of wounds from your family of origin, okay? And there's a lot of, you're emotionally twisted up a lot. You're having a hard time kind of focusing. There's a lot of stuff in your relationship with your parents and your grandparents. And I think it's going to be important, honestly, to start sorting that out. Because you're not going to be able to be effective in doing anything to be helpful to your family of origin until you get that emotional stuff calmed down enough to really hear what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do from moment to moment, and do that confidently.
And until you have clarity in the Holy Spirit about what is wounding you and how to heal those wounds, because it sounds like there's a lot of history here, you won't be able to be clear enough with them to help them walk toward light and walk toward God's will for their lives, because it's just going to come out as muddled. It's going to be one issue layered over another issue, and it's going to be too hard to sort.
The best way you can work for the good of your family is for you to be the healthiest and strongest, holiest person you can be in your own life, that you're working to heal those wounds, to be a healthy, strong, godly man, husband, and father, that they can look at and say, there's something different about Josh. We see something different there. What is it? Which gives you the opportunity to say, it's the power of God in my life, and I would love to share that with you. Right? That's the best way. You work on being the strongest, healthiest, godliest man, husband, and father you possibly can be so that God's light can shine out through you. And then you ask yourself, how much can I be around my family and still feel safe? And when I say safe, I don't just mean physically safe. I mean emotionally and spiritually safe, where you can be around them and not have to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together again. As much time as you can be there with them and not have to spend the rest of the day you're putting yourself back together again, do that, because that's that relationship is what allows the Holy Spirit to be a positive difference. So focus on becoming a healthier, stronger, godly person who has healed those wounds from your family of origin, and then see what kind of relationship you can cultivate from there to let the Holy Spirit work through you. Josh, if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program or at CatholicCounselors.com. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. And if we can do more to help you eliminate the drama in your life, check out the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com, and then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.